What's up, guys? Episode 9 of the Talking Talker podcast. Daniel Cormier, Nick Swinburne, Dennis Rodriguez. On this Monday night, we come to you with heavy hearts because the world is actually a crazy, crazy place right now. Obviously, the shootings in Las Vegas yesterday have stunned us all. When it happens this close to home, it's really a reality check because how many of us have walked down the strip in Las Vegas? How many of us have attended events in Las Vegas? And really, Vegas is a place that you go to just kind of let go of all your day-to-day, the normalcy of life. You go to Vegas to let your hair down and kind of just relax and have a wonderful time. And last night we experienced the greatest mass shooting in U.S. history. And it's very difficult to wrap your mind around something that is so tragic. Our prayers and thoughts are with the victims and their families. One thing that you do tip your hat to the people of this great country is in these dire circumstances, people seem to rally around each other and rally around humans and Americans. And in these moments, you know how lucky you are to live in such a great country with people who really do, at their core, want to help.
Yeah, it was a long fucking day. When I woke up, I heard about it. And at first, you're just reading Twitter and you're like, what the fuck? You know, like, how do you... All these people went to a concert in a parking lot. Like, you know, a ticketed event in a parking lot should be like a safe place. They just went to relax and have fun. And like it's just almost like doesn't even seem real. Someone would shoot through the windows of a casino. It's like, it's crazy. Like, you know, people, they shouldn't have to worry about this kind of shit. Like, and obviously all the people affected and like the people that lost their lives and so many people are injured. And it's just, and then you just got, I just kind of got pissed off all day. Like, I went from feeling, you know, sad and bad for all these people and thinking anyone could have been at that event, you know? And then you start thinking, you get all pissed off. And it's just like, what is the fuck? Like, why does, you know? And then I get into things I don't even really understand. Like, I mean, to me, it makes no sense. Why do we need fucking machine guns? Like, why would anyone need a machine gun, you know? And then it's like, you're sitting there and Twitter turns into more of this like gun debate. And you're like, this has nothing to do with anything. This is just like some fucked up guy who just shot a whole bunch of people for no reason. Like, it's senseless. It makes no sense. And then, like, last week, you start thinking about, you know, your own kids. And I have a son, and I was sitting there thinking, imagine, you know, he's going to get older. He's going to want to go to a concert. And, like, and then you kind of feel selfish for thinking about, like, your own son in the future when all these people are going through this tragedy, but it's just a normal progression of thought. And then it's just like, what, you know, it's like, seems unbelievable. You know, and you get everyone arguing about, is it terrorist? Is it not terrorist? It's like, it's just fucking nonsense.
Yeah, the issue for me is ISIS, they always take credit for these attacks. Anytime there's a massive attack anywhere around the world, these terrorist groups, they want to take credit for it because, you know, obviously you want to seem dangerous. They want to seem dangerous. But I think what upsets me most in these situations, right, is for a person to go and face, you know, this guy takes 55 lives, injures 500 people, and then before, and it's the MO of the person, you know, it's the cowardice. You do all these things, and before you can actually, before you can meet your maker, before you have to answer for your action, they take their own lives. And that, to me, the action is coward, right? So the action to go there and shoot all these people, these innocent people, are coward. but then you take your own life because you are afraid of what's to come to you. It's coward. And that upsets me so badly because you just affect all these people and never truly have to answer for your action because you take your own life.
Yeah, and even you if, know? He just, if he took his own life, that's one thing. Why, you know, it makes, like, I don't know, I just can't even wrap my head around the thought of, like, you know, I can understand people get to the point where they want to die. But how the fuck you get to the point where you think a bunch of innocent people should die also is fucking, is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane, you know, and I mean, I am by no way, you know, I just, for me, man, it's like, we see these shootings time and time again, and we see these acts of just cowardice over and over again. And every time it ends the same way, you know, they hurt a ton of people that are innocent. And then they kill themselves because it's crazy to me that you read about some of these horrible, horrible acts that people do. And then when they go to jail with some of the baddest people in the world, guys that do stuff like do stuff to kids or do stuff to women. Prisoners will actually make their lives a living hell. And they are so afraid to deal with that, that they end up killing themselves. And it's so coward. It's so, I mean, obviously you don't do stuff like that, but when you do, it's unfortunate, you know? So, again, you know, just such a sad occurrence. And it's just so sad that as parents, we are raising our children in a time where this stuff is, it's happening so often that it's scary. You know, we were talking before we went on air and you said at some point our kids will want to go to a concert. What do we do as parents? How do we deal with Luke or little Daniel or Marquita saying, "Dad, I'm 21 years old. I want to see, I don't know who the hot act is going to be then, but I guess Jason Aldean was performing when this happened. When our kids go, hey, Dad, can I go to Vegas to watch so-and-so perform? You got to be worried about him, especially 15 years down the line when If it's showing that stuff is just getting worse, how are you to believe that it's just going to get better as our kids grow older?
Yeah, I got to go back to UCSB this week and where I went to college, and I was thinking, yeah, you know, last couple of days, like, oh man, it's going to be a trip when Luke goes to college. Like, you know, I went as a kid, and as a kid, you're like, hey, drop me off and get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm ready to, you know, I'm going to go to college. You know, it's like you drop your kid off at school now and they're like, hey, can you drop me off a little bit farther away? Or, hey, can you turn the music down when you drop me off? I'm in fourth grade. I don't want kids to think I'm weird. It's like, all right. And now it's like, you know, like then it's like, yeah, you're going to, you almost want to just like lock him in the house all day. But then how do you explain to him, like, you know, I've been waiting all day for him to ask me about it. But I think, you know, he went to school before I knew about it. So he probably didn't, you know, tomorrow he'll find out. Tomorrow the kids will be talking about it. And then you got to explain that to him. You don't want, you know, you got to explain to him, like, there's just senseless shit out there and he has to be careful, but you don't want to, you know, scare him where he doesn't want to leave the house. I mean, fuck, this morning I was like, I told my wife, I was like, fuck it, I was like Googling, like, move to Australia. Like, I was like, they don't have as many guns in Australia, you know, like, fuck, should we just move to fucking Hawaii? And then, I mean, I was being serious for like an hour. I was like, I'm fucking out. Like this is just getting too crazy. And then I thought, well, you know, is he going to, you know, I'm going to take him out of school and take him to some other country and tell him we're moving there. Why? Cause like, I was afraid. Like, it's just, yeah, it's all fucked up. So.
Yeah. And the problem is there are no answers. right? Like, there are no answers as to why this stuff is happening. It's all senseless.
Yeah.
You know, it's all senseless. It's just, it just seems like lately, you know, like, it's like we're getting hit from all different areas, which is these high profile incidents, you know, like, you know, death is just, it's just crazy. It's just everywhere right now. And
yeah.
Now, again, man.
The, you know, unfortunately, without, you know, being disrespectful to today's events, we gotta, you know, we're trying to get this show out every week and try to, you know, entertain people for a little bit so they can forget about all the,
be a distraction,
not forget, but
to, right?
You know, to get distracted from what happened. So we're going to do our best to, you know, talk about other stuff that we had planned to talk about before yesterday. You know, we probably won't be as jokey and, you know, laughing as much, but, you know, I think we, at this point, we gotta try. So
as, because what we can do, what we have to do as people, right, and as Americans, what we have to do, or anyone that gets affected in this way, is when stuff like this happens, you have to try to move on and try to get back to normal, because the people that do these things have so much power over you when you stand still. It's like you're giving them too much power. So we have to honor the deceased, and we have to come together as a people, but we have to at some point try to, and we will. This country will. This is the strongest country in the world. Everybody's gonna come together and try to get back to life. So it's tough. It's tough.
All right. Well, what else what do we got on our list?
Well, you know, Dennis
did make us a list. He's very well prepared. Let's talk about why Dennis had so much time to prepare. So Dennis, what time was the podcast going to start tonight?
8:30.
What happened today? Was DC here at 8:30? Well, I wasn't here at 8:30. I was here about 8:35, and then DC was
here. His computer wasn't.
Oh, but he forgot his. Dennis made DC a special laptop. It was all ready to go for this podcast, and DC left that one in the car. Which
well,
then
my
he took
girl's
to a
car got like something. I was driving on the highway, and something like kicked up on the highway, and it hit the side of her vehicle. And it just like kind of torn to the side. It's very bad. And she's got, you know, she's got a nice car. It put a big old dent under the door on the driver's side. And so you take it to the body shop, and it takes them, man, they've had the car since last Tuesday, because I guess they have to get the dent out. They have to prime it. They have to paint it. Let the paint dryer, repaint it again. They've got to paint that thing three times before it's actually ready to
go. Well, let's hope they're not fucking logging on and learning all our talk and talker secrets on this precious laptop, which Dennis set up. So then DC
had a very secure password.
Then we had to download. He had to download an app so he could, you know, connect with us. But his operating system was a little behind, so he couldn't do that.
A few years.
I never update my phones. Look, man.
So then we got Dennis and DC. Exchanging all these logins and, you know.
Nick, I know for a fact, I am 100% certain that every time Apple makes a new product, they break our old products.
I do believe that. Phone always gets slower right before
the
fucking new one comes out.
As the iPhone 8 came out last week, my phone has just been shitting itself constantly. It does not want to charge anymore. Now it just drops calls. I used to talk to Bob at his house on the phone. Now Bob's phone sounds like he's fucking... Bob's phone sounds as though he's like on dial-up network. It's fucked up, man. And I think that they do it to us every time. Every time there's a new phone, they start begging us for updates. And then the moment you update your phone, it just does not work anymore. So, Yes. If my computer has not been updated, it's because I want it to continue working. Otherwise, this shit's going to break on me. And computers are expensive, man. I mean, I bought this computer a few years ago and 2 years ago, and shit was like $2,000 or something. So it's like, how am I supposed to just get rid of this computer in 2 years? I can't justify it.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't. You clearly are just getting paid pennies for these fights.
Hey, let me tell you one thing about Big DC, right? The one thing about Big DC is, look, I'm a tough son of a bitch. I love to fight. I love my family. But outside of all that, there's one thing that is, hey, as much as the day is long, DC is that cheap. I don't grab for the wallet.
That's what it stands for. DC, that cheap. Oh, that's another. We got another T-shirt.
That cheap. I've used. One time I was in Sweden for UFC on Fox, and I was with my boss at the time. His name is George Greenberg, and every day he'd go, DC, let's go downstairs. We're gonna eat some dinner. You know, it's Swedish meatballs. And initially I was like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Well, every day I went. And George would sit there with his, like, when it was time to pay. And every time I just, fuck, I forgot my wallet. Shit. He made me walk upstairs to go get my wallet. And I swear, this worked for 4 days, bro. 4 days of free fucking meatballs, beer. It was amazing. Like, every day. And I've pretty much gotten a reputation now for, I mean, anytime I'm around you, Nick, I go eat at your restaurant because I know it costs me nothing.
Well, now I know. I mean, I've had the Swedish meatballs at IKEA a few times. You had those?
No, I haven't.
The IKEA cafeteria is pretty good.
It's a horrible store.
Yeah, they got the Swedish meatballs aren't bad. They got fucking cinnamon rolls are good. They got
food good, in there?
Yeah, they got a little cafeteria, and on the way out behind the register, they got like a cinnamon roll. I mean, it's a place to be.
Dude, all right, so you go to IKEA. You buy this shit. It's super expensive, right?
I won't go there anymore because
I put the shit together.
Yeah, I can't assemble. I cannot assemble. Well, Dennis knows. I cannot assemble anything. Last time I tried to assemble IKEA, it was at my mother-in-law's. I got her a little TV stand. And I was like, I can do this. And I followed the instructions for a couple pieces, and then it's like, this is pretty basic. It's a fucking rectangle with a bar in the middle. And then I got finished, and I realized that the piece in the middle I had put in backwards. So everything else looked finished, and the piece, the vertical divider in the middle was unfinished. I was like, I just got in a rage. I told my wife and my mother-in-law, like, get outside. I made them go outside on the balcony because I was so fucking pissed. I mean, just fucking get outside. I can't deal with this shit right now. And I took it apart, and you always, like, those little things, they screw in pretty good the first time, but after you undo them, it's like the cork board starts fucking fraying, and I'm just like, there's nothing. I mean, but by the time you buy it, you lug it to the car. It's fucking heavy. Then you unload it, put it in the house, assemble it wrong. Then it's just, you know, it's just not worth it.
Have you just thrown it out before? Like, gave up?
I've thrown it out unopened before. Like, I bought like two of something, and halfway through the first one said fuck this and thrown them both away.
Nice.
Like, it never worked.
No,
it seriously never works. Like, regardless of what,
it's good for like fake plants and like the little, you know, they got like little lamps and clocks and shit like that that works good, and Swedish meatballs and cinnamon rolls, but I don't know anything assembly is just not my friend. So well, that was a short and sweet story. I said that was a short and sweet story. I don't know if you noticed, your story was your story was three words long. It built it up. Selena and I, we got to San Jose, we went to IKEA, we hated it. Silence.
And scene.
They do have a. You can't. We lost you. You can't hear us. You back, DC?
I can hear you now, yeah.
All right. We made a note. No more talking about Swedish meatballs because DC will drop off the phone for a second for a quick trip to the freezer. What'd you get? Like, if I could Marie Callender's Swedish meatballs in the fridge.
That was an accident, dog. That was an accident. I don't know what happened to my computer. All right, it might be time for me to, like, get a new computer because it just freaked out. It turned itself off. There's no volume. So now I'm doing this for my cell phone.
Hey, wait. I think you sitting in the bathroom talking to us really adds to the podcast, so we're good.
Shut up. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're an asshole. Like, you really are. Like, and I don't know how you got friends. I don't know why we're all still your friends.
Hey, that was me and Nick. That was me and Nick that said that, not Dennis.
Hey.
No, I know, Nick. You're an asshole. But, so here's the thing. There's something that's kind of bothering me right now. Bothering me. And it's news that Anthony Johnson is coming out of retirement. First off, I feel like if he was going to retire, man, he should have stayed retired a little bit longer. Because when you do that, right, and you come back this quick, it just kind of feels like, oh, you're mad because you lost, so you just quit, right? It's not even a six-month retirement. So it feels kind of like you were mad because you lost, and you kind of just quit. And that's not the way things are supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was more like, because right after the fight in the locker room, right, he ran into John Jones and he said, who knows, maybe one day I'll come back and we'll fight after all. So it's almost like right after he fucking retired,
he tried to unretire. Okay, so you bring up the John Jones thing. All right, so here's the thing that pisses me off about the John Jones thing. So Rumble Johnson and I have always been respectful with each other. But something happened at UFC 214 that forever has made me change the way I'm going to interact with Anthony Johnson. So I walk into the back of the weigh-ins for UFC 214, and there's Rumble. And I go up to Rumble, and I go, he says, what's up, DC? He goes, me, look good. Da, da, da. We give him a hug, and I'm like, cool. I'm like, hey, man, I hope you're enjoying your retirement. You seem happy. I wish you nothing but continued success. And I go about my business. As much as you would expect two guys that have competed and have respect for each other to interact, then in walks John Jones, right? And I expect him to, a guy that he was supposed to fight and may at some point still fight, to give him the same type of conversation and just kind of keep it moving as a man. But John walks in, they gave each other the shake and the hug, and they talk a little bit. And the conversation seems like Anthony's like almost giving him advice. And then, we're kind of all in the back doing our thing, and I'm doing my interviews and shit. And then,
what kind of advice?
John like goes into the, like pre-fight stuff, you know, where you're talking to people, you know, and shaking hands, just kind of doing your thing, you know, VIP people, they get to come in the back, you get to hang out, they get to take pictures and all this other shit, right?
How do me and Dennis get to do
so,
that?
You guys come with me. You're my boys. You'll be fine. But
sorry for boring you with that question. Jeez.
No, I'm sorry. So anyways, John goes into the octagon, you know, kind of does a pre-fight thing, you know, gets a feel for the canvas, you know. His reintroduction to the octagon, which is cool, you know, he's kind of reacquainting himself with his playing field. And he comes out. I'm kind of watching this interaction because I see Rumble kind of standing around, you know? And then, I guess John's like putting on his shoes or something, right? And then Rumble then walks up to him again. But now they're hugging. Legitimately hugging. Rumble's leaning over while John's tying his shoes. He's hugging and giving him advice. What the fuck kind of advice are you giving him?
maybe he was right? telling him how to retire.
Yeah, but then fucking, it's like, what the fuck? Why are you so friendly, right?
Yeah.
This is a guy that at some point you may have to fight. You're his friend now? Why the fuck are you his friend?
Yeah,
are you just hoping that he wins because I beat you? What the fuck are you doing? I'm done, dude. Nick, I'm done. Rumble and I have no more relationship. You don't. What the fuck are you so friendly with a guy in your weight class for? Fuck that.
Yeah, that's weird.
The competitor in you should not allow you to be that nice to that guy.
Yeah, I've always, I actually can never quite figure out how everyone coexists around each other at these, like, backstage and at the press conferences. Maybe you should call him a mumble from now on, because he's, you know, from his conversation.
Nah, fuck that. I'm not calling him shit. He's done, dude. Like, in my mind, I'm like, this dude is fucking soft.
Yeah.
You should never be that fucking friendly with somebody, especially if it's somebody that you may end up fighting. Shake my hand. Give me well wishes. I give you well wishes. We can be respectful. But you don't need to be fucking friendly bobbing all over the place. He's a friendly Bob. That's what they call people. Be friendly. Hey, Bob, how you doing, friendly guy? You want to fucking give some advice and hug?
Wait
be
a minute.
Best friends.
Didn't he, after he retired, everyone thought he was going to go be the Rams strength coach, right? And it turned out instead he'd invested in his friends.
Where the fuck?
He'd invested in his friends.
You don't just fucking go play in the NFL.
Well, no, they said he was going to be a strength coach, right? Because he changed his what do you call it, avatar? What, your logo to a Rams logo.
Yeah.
And then it turned out he'd invested in his friend's weed company or something, and he was going to go move to Canada and run that. So maybe, I mean, all of a sudden, I can think of a lot of stuff that he has to talk to Jones about, right? he's probably out there raising a seed round for his new medical business.
Again, you're an asshole. Like, you fucking take it there every time. Like, you have to. You fucking take it there. That is not why we were talking about this.
What?
But the reality is, like, I'm serious. This shit pissed me off, man. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking be friends with him anymore. Yeah. I'm not going to be fucking respectful with him anymore, because who needs to be that fucking nice? Anybody that's that nice has an ulterior motive. That's my thought. Fuck that.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, when you even if your mind's not even all the way there, right? It seems like, you know, you retire, and then you want to come back because you missed something. But there's a reason you retired in the first place. It could have been that you're just upset you got your ass kicked. Could have been that you've been thinking about it for a while. Could have been that you had it planned as an excuse. So, you know, you could say, well, my mind wasn't really right, and I can come back. But
yeah,
you know, it's like a
even that deal, you know. Even that deal, though, you know, the guy comes out there and he fights me in the way that he fought me, right? He's clinching me and doing everything, and then the fight ends up playing out the way that it did. Then he fucking gets up there and he quits, and everybody's like, well, you fought a guy that wasn't even motivated. That's not my fault, though. It's like, you are fucking like, your decisions are just kind of like, you know, it's like weird, man. You can't, you just like, it's like, come on, man, you fucking lost the fight, you know, like, I cried after I lost the fight. I was sad. I cried. They said, do you guys have a rivalry? I said, well, there really is no rivalry if you've lost twice. I didn't say, well, I quit. I just said, you know what? I'm going to try to figure out a way to try to get back to this again. Maybe it's me being crazy.
Yeah.
But you don't just quit, man.
Yeah. No. And if you do, you don't hint that you might come back in the locker room right afterwards.
5 minutes after. Yeah. And like, dude, like, so this is my question, right? As a sports fan, I cried, Nick. I was up there and my fucking snot fucking coming out of my nose crying. It meant so much, and I was so sad that I cried in front of the entire world.
Yeah.
Do you prefer your sports stars? I want you to just not be biased to me. Do you prefer a guy that shows pure emotions, or do you prefer the guy that goes, you know what, it's just sport, and they can be just happy and normal after? What do people prefer in their athletes? Because I know what I prefer. I want to see that it means something to them. But do you like the guys that go, well, it's just a game, you know, whatever?
No, I mean, I think the same thing I said after the fight, you know, it was, even though you lost, it was inspiring how much you wanted something. And it wasn't just me, right? It's not like, oh, I'm, you know, we're friends, so I'm emotionally invested in you. The resounding, I mean, that's the right word, the all the feedback from the community, right, MMA community and everyone that watched the fight, was they had more respect for you after seeing how much you wanted it, how much you cared. And then I think it's, you know, and people pay a lot of money to watch this shit, and so they want to know that they're paying money for people who want to be there. And I think there's always that, like, you know, you're rational enough, especially with all the shit going on in the world, right, to understand that a game is a game. and win or lose, it's a game. Now, your guys' is a little rougher than a traditional game, but, you know, when you're watching, you know, you're smart enough to know, like, if the Warriors lose the finals and, you know, Steph Curry says, oh, well, we'll get him next year. Like, okay, you know, it's a game. He should, but you certainly don't want him, you know, laughing and, like, you know, high-fiving LeBron afterwards.
I want him pissed. Yeah. I want him like, man, we played fucking 82 games. We had to play 16 more games. I worked my fucking ass off. I've invested so much into this. I want him to be like, you know what? This is fucking crazy. I'm going to work.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go. It's upsetting. I'm going to go back and I'm going to work even harder to make sure I don't feel like that again next year.
Because fans go through fans go through it with you, right? They get excited. It's different, but right before you fight, as you knock off the fights before that fight, they're going through the emotional highs with you as you're getting ready for that fight. It's announced. They're getting all fired up when they go to the fight. They're excited for you, or maybe they're not excited for you, but they're excited to watch you. And then afterwards, they don't want to feel like they emotionally invested in something that you just did for a check, or you kind of like you didn't really care, you know, like because fans really care, right? I mean, I don't understand how you guys care about WWF or WWE, whatever, but when it's sports, fans really care. I get it. I mean, that's fucking makes no sense. It's like watching fucking General Hospital and then getting pissed off because, like, you know, the guy cheated on his wife or whatever the fuck they do, and being like, I can't believe it. It's like, what do you mean, can't believe it? It was written down. Yeah, but
you try to just suspend reality for a second and just watch and appreciate it for what it is, because it is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I loved it when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I loved it. And then they had that 2020 or Nightline, whatever, where they showed them cutting their foreheads with the razor blades, and it wasn't real. And it was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. It's not real. This is bullshit. I couldn't get back after that. But the I think you always want.
And people use a lot, like right. So you have the athletes that fight for in play sports for millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But what about that guy that spends fucking $300, $400, $500 to go watch you fight? And he doesn't, he saves for that. You know, this is the guy that goes to work, and the guy is saving his money and making sure that he can do something special for himself or his, you know. And that special thing, that one thing he gets to do for that year is to be in the arena when you compete.
Yeah.
You know, that means something to that guy. That guy that went out and bought my T-shirt for $30. And, you know, that means something to him. So when it means that much to them, it should mean something to you, the athlete. So I don't like when the guys just sit up there and kind of accept defeat too freely.
Yeah. Plus,
we
would all trade like places with you, right?
Do like, it, you know?
People, you watch sports and you want to be an athlete. You watch fights and you wish you could be a fighter. And, like, you know, so it's not, it's like, you've invested financially, you've invested emotionally, and then you've just invested, like, I wish I could do this. And you don't want to find out that, like, you can't do something, and the person who can do it really could fucking care, you know, doesn't care as much. So I think there's a fine, you know, it's okay if people take things differently. It's okay if they are disappointed. It's just, but not, you know, super emotional. Some people are emotional, some people aren't. I'm not, you know, I have a hard time being emotional, but, like, they, yeah, you just don't want to feel like they were thinking about that before, or they didn't really, or, oh, well, I lost, you know, but I'm still getting paid. You don't want to think about the money, I guess.
No, you don't want to hear that. I think that is the worst. Like, I don't care, whatever, I'm still getting my check. And I mean, I've heard that from athletes before, and it's like,
yeah,
how does this guy ever expect anybody to truly tune in and invest in them again? You know, anyway, well, the moral of the story is I'm fucking pissed at Rumble. Shit's over. We have no more friendship, no relationship, because he's too friendly. He's too nice. I don't wish him harm, but I just think that him and I are fucking.
So
that shit's done.
He won't get invited to your online matchmaking polls, right? So who do you?
No,
he's done. But he was done.
He's done.
Even if it didn't piss you off, he was already done. But you did these polls.
I'm glad,
like,
he's in the rearview mirror anyway. Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, I asked.
Was that all you? Like, did the UFC say, hey, DC, whoever wins this poll, you're going to fight? Or did they say, hey, we'd rather you fight this guy? Or?
No, it was me. You know, I was like, man, let's see where the interest is, you know. And Look, there are a lot of people that want to see me fight Alexander Gustafsson. And I would fight Alexander again. You know, he's a tough guy. Another guy I have a tremendous amount of respect for. But, you know, it's a fight that we've seen before. And the truth of the matter is, Nick, that fight with Alex, in all the fights that I've done, the two Jones fights that have done tremendous at the box office, the pay-per-views, the Anderson Silva fight, obviously, at UFC 200, did amazing pay-per-views. The two Rumble fights did really well, pay-per-view-wise. The only fight that I've truly, truly struggled with at the box office was Gustafsson. We did no business. We did no business, you know, so revisit that fight right now would be great. It would be something that would push me a ton competitively, because he is who he is. He's a very tough fighter, but I keep getting stuff like, you want to fight Volkan because it's easier, but Gustafsson's the money fight. Well, the reality is, Gustafsson really isn't the money fight.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't, even when he fought John, you know, the pay-per-views did very bad. I mean, he has this cult following in terms of when they did the EA Sports vote. He got put on the cover of the video game, but then it doesn't equate to pay-per-view buys, which sucks.
Yeah, I guess.
Because if it did, I'd be like, hey, put Gustafsson up there right now. But I know that the power puncher in Rumble did okay.
Gustafsson, I guess, I'm assuming in Sweden it's not pay-per-view, right? It's probably just on free TV.
I don't know. So maybe I know what Rumble did. So maybe people think, oh, Volkan's the power puncher. He has a chance. Maybe they'll tune in for him. But at least it's not something that I know hasn't worked previously.
I think it's good to get some new blood and see new guys that we're not all, you know, totally familiar with. I mean, sometimes in these divisions you get stuck with it's really just like three or four guys just like going back and forth and, you know, doing the rematch, and then another guy steps up and does the rematch after fighting the other guy that did the rematch.
It's over.
Yeah, so I
fight again.
I think it's the unknown is kind of exciting.
And Alex is, you know, Alex is a tough guy. He, you know, it's like he has such passionate fans, you know, man, and they come after you and they tell you you're afraid of Gustafsson. And
yeah,
like, man, Alex has had, you know, he's a tough guy. He's had some chances, man.
Yeah, it's hard because
he got to fight me. Yeah. He got to fight Rumble in the number one contenders fight. He got to fight Jones. He's had a lot of chances. You know, it's like, it's not like this is a young man that doesn't or hasn't had a bunch of chances, you know? He just hasn't truly capitalized on them just yet.
I think he carries himself well, and people like him, and so you kind of want that, like, it's almost like, you want the guy that's been around for a long time, you want him to get a chance, you want, you know, in a perfect world, there's a whole bunch of guys that get to be champions, but that's really not how it works.
The game that we play, man, not everybody gets to be a champ. It sucks.
Yeah.
Because there are so many guys that are deserving. And Alexander's one of those guys.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a great champ. It just sucks that it would have to be at your expense, you know?
Yeah.
The game we play, Nick.
Yeah. No, it's rough. I mean, that's I spend a lot of time thinking about guys later on in life and after they're done fighting and for a number of reasons, but the you know, it's pretty cool that no matter what, you're going to sit on your fucking porch when you're old and sit there and talk shit about, you know, being the champ. It's pretty sweet.
It never leaves,
you know. And so many guys are going to be like, god damn it, I never quite got there. And it's like, ugh, I can imagine. It's just,
but I think when you complete your journey, right, regardless of where it peaked, you have to be proud of your accomplishments, right? So if you were the number one contender, came close, and, you know, obviously with me losing to Jones twice, if I would have never, you know, he would have never gotten into all the shit that he's been into and yeah. all this stuff. My feeling would have been just being a guy that fought for the belt a few times. That's what it would have to have been, and I would have had to have been proud of that, man. And I think that's where guys get lost, you know. In the beginning, yeah, you're going to be upset because you want to be the best. But at the end of the day, you have to be proud of the things that you accomplished.
Yeah.
And if that means that you were just kind of on the cusp, then you were just on the cusp.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, any walk of life, it's hard not to compare your, you know
tough sport.
It's hard to put it in perspective. There's always someone that's done more, gotten more, and you're like, it's hard to, you know, you kind of feel down on yourself sometimes about that. But later you realize, dude, like, you know, being one of the top five is incredible. Being one of the top 10 is incredible. Being one of the top 20 is incredible. Fighting on fucking TV is incredible. You know, like, shit. I mean, Dennis peaked on the fucking Tuna and OJ episode, you know? And it's, I mean, that was like, it's just a, that was a flash in the pan. I mean, who knows if he's going to get another prank to do.
You never know what happens.
You know, he wakes up every morning just, you know, every time he sees OJ, he just starts thinking, God, one day I'm going to get back to those heights. He's got a, Dennis got a question for you.
I actually was,
go ahead.
Wondering, would you ever do WWE? Like your post UFC career? If they offered it to you?
So, I'm 38 years old now. That time is coming gone, man.
Well, what about, what if you were like a Captain Lou Albano?
Manager?
Yeah, Bobby the Brain. Wasn't Bobby the Brain a manager? Dude, you'd be, that's fucking, that's, you just, that'd be sweet.
He just bought up another one, Bobby the Brain. He just passed away, too.
Oh, shit. Well.
Oh, God.
Bobby the Brain just passed away, too, just last week. So,
yeah, it's been
one of the greatest of all time. But,
who's the other one? Jimmy Hart? Was that the other guy? Jimmy Hart wasn't he?
Jimmy Hart, yeah. Jimmy Hart's still alive.
Captain Lou Albano, though. I mean, he had Cindy Lauper coming out with him. Remember that? Are you guys too young for this?
Captain Lou Albano, yeah, but he's dead.
Oh, I remember him, yeah.
Damn, Nick. God dang, Nick.
You're dating yourself.
Yeah, man, you know, like, I thought about it. You know, back when I was still wrestling, I actually went to a couple events. But Kurt Angle actually told me, he was like, man, this is going to be here forever. You should try to pursue your Olympic dream. Try to be a world champ if you can, you know. This will be here. So that's what I did. You know, I just kept wrestling. But, yeah, man, I wanted to do it for a while, but it just didn't work.
Yeah, I'm calling it.
It really
I'm
didn't
calling
work.
It WWE manager, the mouthpiece.
The mouthpiece.
The hype man. DC, the hype man.
Like the Undertaker.
Yeah.
The guy with the band.
Hey, boys. Your boy has to go to bed because the wife's a little bit under the weather right now. So
you know, when
I'm having to get up in the morning and take the kids to school.
When you said boys, we both knew what was coming, and we literally looked at each other like two kids that were playing basketball, and their mom told them it's time to come in. we were both just all the energy sapped from us. But yeah, I think we should
every week is the same.
Yeah, I think we should keep it short. I think we should. You know, this was a crazy day. So I think people can only they can only probably be distracted for a short time. So we should probably. Probably a good thing we get DC into bed.
I appreciate it, man. Again, our thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Vegas. This was episode 9 again of the Talk and Talker podcast. For DC, Nick Swimmer, Dennis Rodriguez, I am DC, Daniel Cormier. Hey guys, we appreciate you guys listening. And we'll catch you guys next week. Yep. Dennis, get this thing turned around, man. People want to hear it.
You got it.
All right. Later.
All right. All right, boys. Later.
Honestly, as I can here while we have this moment to just thank you very much and tell you that it's been a pleasure to play for you tonight. Thank you for coming. My love, may God watch.
from above. Tomorrow I'm working, what would I do? I'd be lost and lonely if not for you.
God bless you.